Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio,
you're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
We had football, Bears football back in our lives. They're 1-0 in the preseason. And the Kansas City Chiefs came in, and that first team offense is just unbelievable.
What would the score have been if this was week one of the regular season and they played their guys against our guys? This is the ultimate hypothetical.
Is Roquan on the field?
Sure.
34-13.
What if Roquan's not on the field?
44-14.
Okay. So I think the moral of our story is that this is an unfinished product and they're not ready quite for prime time. But you can still find things that you saw that you appreciated or you felt okay about. And I felt that way.
I felt okay about a lot of the young talent.
I said it early. Listen, preseason football is very basic. There's not a lot of game planning. There's not a lot of scheming that is going on. So ultimately, you'll find yourself, and I think Justin Fields even said this, a lot in preseason, you'll see a lot of man-to-man coverage because you're not game planning for guys. You're not putting together a game plan defensively or offensively, which for me then leads me to look for individual performances. So I wrote down the following names. Ebner, Brisker, Sharp, Mooney, Jones, Sanborn. And I also wrote down that they had zero turnovers and only five penalties for 32 yards. I get it. Our first team defense got shredded by one of the best offenses in all of football. I get it. Our offense is still, you know, learning to work together. They went 3 and out. Their second drive, they had 1 first down, had a nice pitching catch from Fields to Mooney. Their third drive, they had 3 first downs, and ultimately all 3 of their drives ended in punts.
Look, the last time we saw the Kansas City Chiefs win a game, didn't they go down the field how many different times in the last few minutes of the game and score?
Against Buffalo?
Yeah.
Yeah, a bunch.
I mean, like, that's what they do against good teams.
Yeah.
I know the Bears defense has no shot against that team, and they're trying to figure some things out now without Tyreek Hill and kind of a new way of doing things.
Saturday was not about a win or a loss. It was about other things that happened in that game that you've kind of cling to.
So those names that you mentioned, those are all young players.
Yeah,
Mooney is what, a third-year player? Is he the oldest guy on your list?
Probably so, yeah.
Fields hit
Sharp's been in
right.
The,
he's been in the league.
Tajay Sharp has been in the league for longer than all of them, but he made some good plays. Ebner's a rookie. Brisker's a rookie. Jones is a rookie. Sanborn's a rookie.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And Mooney is, like, a lot of people are very bullish on Mooney. Maybe he shows everybody that he can be a number one. We'll see.
I hope so.
Yeah. And supposedly today they were clicking offensively, where him and Fields were hitting each other. A lot of people talked about the way his pre-snap reads look good, too. Set up the sharp catch. Got everyone in the right spot. He's getting coached a little bit better. It's a starting point. That's all it is. And they could have done a lot worse. Now, the Fields in terrible shape. It's terrible optics. I got to get the J.C. Tretter tweet out. We've tried to get J.C. on, but he did not respond. And it's interesting, too, because when was the article written, Tyler? Wasn't it yesterday?
You talking about the blackballing one?
Yes.
Yeah, that was written, I think, yesterday by Pro Football Talk Mike Florio, talking about how J.C. Tretter right now is not signed, and some people believe that it's because he's being blackballed because he's been such an advocate for player safety.
Because he's the Players Association president, has been an advocate. And what in which manner or how has he been vocal about player safety? In what ways?
Well, like, for instance, someone sent me an article from Tretter from the NFLPA website, NFLPA.com, and then the story site, about how he wrote a headline, "Only natural grass can level the NFL's playing field." And he wrote a whole article, like we were talking about turf fields. And I said, like, the Bears have had a chance to put in that field turf, which is good enough for the Patriots and a lot of other teams. J.C. Tretter, I don't see a date on this article when he wrote it, but the article is about how all those studies that Ted has cited show that you're way more likely to have that non-contact injury on a field turf field than natural grass. And it's unsafe to play in field turf. Like, I don't know, and a lot of, I'm not sure where he is with the head injuries and everything like that. Like, Treader, according to Pro Football Talk, is still considered a top 10 center in the league. And he has gone unsigned. He played for Cleveland last. Now, our point has always been that I get the grass versus field turf argument if you can get a clean grass field. The Bears have proven, and Soldier Field has proven, that they're incapable of doing that year in and year out. That for the way they use it, this isn't Florida. This isn't an area that has a pristine grass field. So tell me, what do the studies show over something that looks like a beach versus a field turf field?
It's a great question. I mean, is field turf safer than a chewed up grass field? Again, if you have a pristine grass field and compare it with a field turf field, the pristine grass field is going to win every time.
Of course.
When you get a chewed up grass field versus a field turf environment, then it's a different conversation.
Right. And we're starting this season. We talk about starting points with these young players. Our starting point is, ooh, it was a big... Oh, for everyone on the stadium, again, from the people on the outside looking in who don't know about the Elton John concert, who don't know about the rains, who don't know that they're resetting the field, that's your first game at Soldier Field. And with all the optics about why the Bears want to move, and you're like, you can't even take care of the field. No wonder they want to move. You know, that's the sort of...
It's a conversation.
Perception, yeah. Versus how much reality it is. Doug in Aurora, who tweeted me about being... My son's being Sox fans.
Yeah.
He called in, I think, to defend himself. What's up, Doug?
Yeah, I'm here. Do you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
As Tom said during the parody contest, do you hear me now?
Do you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
your phone guy, by the way, kept hanging up on me.
Well, your phone sucks right now, Doug. Your phone does not sound good.
Huh?
Huh?
Yeah.
So I don't like to bother you guys a lot during the off season, but when I hear that you allow your kids to be Sox fans, it literally like destroys me, dude. It literally stings my brain.
Well, but you're a Sox fan. Don't you want more Sox fans?
No, I don't.
You want it your own private club and stay out of Sox business.
No. You literally, when you're born, your father, has his teams, and then you follow them.
Not true.
And,
not for every family. You know, Carmen's dad's a Cubs fan. Carmen's dad is a Cubs fan. He's a diehard White Sox fan. People have their own brains.
So Carmen was smarter than me. Well,
huh?
Your kids are smart. I'll agree. But... what I'm saying to you...
Are you sending a Morse code message? It sounds like tap, 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 tap.
Yeah, what are you doing in the background?
What's going on?
What am I doing in the back?
What is that? What's the tapping?
That's my car.
You need to get it checked.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the engine running. But what I will say...
Your engine runs like tap, 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 tap.
You listen guys, you know, you're always roasting me. You know, when I meet you in person, you roast me.
That's not true, hey. Doug. We love you.
Well, yeah, you're a big contributor.
No, what
Doug,
I'm saying,
Doug
though,
has entered the Holiday Parody Song Contest many times. Yeah, and is a finalist many times. One-time champion,
no,
right?
But
yeah.
What I'm saying to you is your boys, if you let them grow up as White Sox fans, if you're a Cubs fan, it's going to sting you, dude. You shouldn't allow that, man. That's my opinion. That's it.
Look, I've thought about this, Doug, and I had a couple of choices. First of all...
Did Doug have his drinks when we were at
Doug likes his drinks.
So
yes.
Do I.
Yes.
So do I.
We
I
all
just
like
wondered,
our drinks.
Was he a little hammered when we saw him at the Holiday Parody Song?
Yeah, but that's okay, too.
No, absolutely. I'm not passing judgment. I'm just asking. He was a little out of it.
Yeah. I took them
to Cubs
games.
He was very huggy, too. Wasn't he very huggy?
He's touchy, yes. He's touchy.
Good man, Doug.
He's very offended when he doesn't win the championship either.
Yes, I remember that.
He gets very angry.
Very angry.
His mom was there. Very nice. His mom's very nice.
Doug's very nice.
If I had my druthers, if I had a choice in the matter, would I like them to be Cubs fans? Of course. I want them to love the team that I love. Is it the worst thing in the world if they're going to be Sox fans? It's a good experience on the South Side. I'm not a Sox fan. They are. The opposite would be they don't like baseball at all. I could say, you've got to be Cubs fans or I'm not taking you to a game. I want them to like baseball, and I want them to fuel their like. And if they want to go to a Sox game, my dad took me to Sox games in the early 80s.
Did he pull off to the side of the road and take a leak on the way down to the games?
My grandfather did that, going to Bulls games, yeah.
What if your sons, the only way they liked football was to root for the Packers? Why is that different?
Because it's not a Chicago team. Okay. We don't have access to going to Packer games and things like that.
Okay.
And it's the Packers, too. I mean, the Cubs and Sox are not in the same division. They're not in the same
league. What if they were in the same division, if you got your way, because you want them in the same
league? I actually don't think it would be the worst thing in the world to be rivals with you. Like, it could make watching games fun. Mm-hmm. I know there are many people listening who probably have dads of one side of town, and their kids are opposite side. Kids like to go opposite of what their parents say a lot of times, too. I don't know if you know this.
Oh, yeah. They just like to be contrarians.
The Sox are a better team. Okay? Like
front runners and contrarians.
Right. Well, what can an 8-year-old say? Mason was 6 when the Sox started being good. You know, and the Cubs were bad last year and they were bad this year. It's not like I could sell them this great product on the north side. My hope is the Cubs will get good in the next couple of years when we reset when they're 10-8. I'll take them to a game at Wrigley, and they see, hey, this is actually fun over here, too. We're going to change and be Cubs fans.
All right, and because they're front runners, if the Cubs are better than the Sox, maybe they'll make the switch.
You get one switch. You get one trade.
Oh, you get one trade.
That's what Carmen did that, too.
Yeah.
Carmen grew up a Cubs fan and then switched to be a Sox fan. And, like, he did it before he was 13. You know,
there's certain rules attached to it.
Well, yeah, I think you start. And I've been playing up the Bears stuff with the Packers thing. First of all, they got to meet the players the other day. The Bears won. So I'm like, hey, see, ever since you met Justin Fields, they're 1-0. So I'm trying to build them up. And I've been telling them, I go, look, Green Bay's got no big buildings. It's a very small town. This is Chicago. This is the great city. This is the team you want to root for, the Bears. Now, here we have two baseball teams. If they want to root for the Sox, there are worse things that I'm going to have to deal with as a parent. I think you can vouch for that.
Sure, absolutely.
You can have worse things. Baseball team.
Yeah, I'm with you. Listen to Doug on this.
Matt in Streamwood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Waddle. Hey, Sylvie. Thanks for taking my phone call. Sure. Waddle and Sylvie, are they close with Roquan Smith with signing him? Because I thought I heard Courtney say last week that they offered him 95. Is he still holding out for more money, or is it because of they backloaded the contract? Are they anywhere closer to where they're going to get it? Because there comes a point to, if he's not going to sign and he keeps asking for more money and he's not going to practice, wouldn't it be best just to trade him to get whatever picks you can get so that this team can go forward?
First of all, I have no idea on where the contract negotiation is. I have no clue.
One who reported the $95 million offer?
Was that Courtney Cronin?
Or was it Rappaport? Someone had that. It may have been Courtney. Very good offer.
Very good offer.
Someone actually had, whether it was Courtney or Rappaport, someone had the exact number.
Right.
And that he wants to get the top. He wants to, again, be the reset. He's up. He wants highest paid money.
He's not up yet. Jeff Hughes, the Bears blog's the one who said.
That's Jeff Hughes. That's Carl right. Miller.
He said, and by the way, they offered him $95 million in a tweet.
I don't believe.
That's right.
I don't believe they will trade him. Again, what is equitable value in return? And who has that draft currency they're willing to give up for a linebacker who plays off the ball? And by the way, does that team that would acquire him had the cap space to pay an off-ball linebacker what he's looking to get
paid. Yeah, I'm not looking to move on. I think they're fine.
Looking for common ground.
This is a rebuild. There's nothing really that you're going to lose out on by, like, I'm worried that when he does come back that he could get hurt. We've seen these terrible injuries with all our teams in town due to the shortened training camps and spring trainings and everything like this. And now Roquan is doing this to himself. That I'm worried about.
Listen, if you
but can, I'm not looking to move on August 15th.
If somebody would be willing to give you a first-round pick, then you definitely listen and listen intently. Now, it depends on where that first-round pick is. Is it a championship-caliber team? I've heard... Did I see today that the Dallas Cowboys were suggested as a team that may be interested in him and have the ability to make a deal like this?
I would think any team that would want Roquan Smith would be in a competitive area.
Yeah, win now.
Right, in their window. Yeah. You're right.
But many of those teams don't have the cap space to pay him, nor do
you could always find caps. You could always kick the can down the road and renegotiate deals with other guys.
Do you want to give up a high second-round pick and a third-round pick or whatever it's going to cost to do that?
I don't know.
The Cowboys right now do have $21.4 million of cap space.
So make the deal.
I don't know.
Now, that's going to be a, depending on where the Cowboys find themselves, that's going to be a late first-round pick or a mid to late first-round pick.
Now, is this St. Omni trying to work this out with the Cowboys?
Don't know.
St. Omni is this guy that the NFL has alerted the teams about that has been calling. We told you the story on Friday when we last left for the weekend that there were, Pro Football Talk had the story that teams were being called from a Roquan representative that wasn't NFLPA certified and also did not have permission from the Bears to go out and seek a trade. So it was tampering and it was breaking the rules. So it was a multi-level offense.
Look,
they've named him in this release. His name is St. Omni. He is a business representative who does help other players throughout the league and has been making calls.
Agents, yeah. Look, my preference is for them to find common ground with him and re-sign him. If somebody's willing to give you, you know, a healthy deal, or one where you are obviously the winner in that trade, I'm not opposed to it. You're not ready to win now.
No,
someone's willing to overpay.
Overpay
me, and I'll make the deal. Otherwise, I'd like to see them find common ground.
He was saying move on. I'm not in the stage. Oh my God, it's August 15th. We have to hurry up. Like, we're caught in the moment of the day to day minutia of this stuff. You know, this could be settled in a week or 10 days, and it could be a blip.
My preference is for them to find common ground and sign him. If somebody's willing to overpay you for him, I'm all ears.
Yep. Chase on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chase?
What's up, Sylvie?
Everything's good.
Waddle, what is up, man?
Same thing. It's, what is it, same Monday, different things? Same stuff?
Hey, did you enjoy the Field of Dreams game?
Didn't watch much of it, Chase.
I did. They came out of the corn again.
Hey, Watt, I got to ask you a question.
Yes.
Who you, by the end of the season, who you think would throw for more touchdown passes? Is it Justin Fields or Mitch Trubisky?
I'll go with Justin Fields.
Oh, I figured you were going to say that.
Hey, Sylvie,
I got to ask you one more question. I'll hang up. Does this Roquan situation sort of kind of give you, sort of like, kind of remind you of Zach LaVine a little bit in a way? In a little bit. And I'll hang up and listen.
I'm trying to think in which way. Like, Zach, you know, agreed to. They sort of had a handshake agreement where Zach may have wanted new money a year ago, but they're like, look, hold tight. Let us make some changes to the roster. We'll fix the roster and make this a place where we can max you. And he played well for a new. I mean, he didn't have his best year, but. I don't know if it reminds. I don't think it reminds me of Zach LaVine at all. Actually, now that I think about it,
it's different. Look, Zach LaVine plays a sport where he can have a greater impact on a game consistently than a middle linebacker can. I don't think the positions are comparable. Like, if you were telling me that this was a rush end or a quarterback or a receiver, I'd have a better opportunity to kind of compare the two.
Is this more about, like, the max money for a player that may not be the best in the league?
Maybe that's where,
or where the comp
going.
Is. Yeah. That, you know, Roquan certainly isn't one of the best defensive players playing one of the biggest premium spot, but he's very good. Zach LaVine isn't one of the top 10 players in the NBA, and you had to max him. maybe a little bit that way, but
yeah, that's kind of a hard comparison to make.
There was also a finite maximum amount of money that you could give Zach LaVine. Like, there were only two options. It's either you're giving him this exact contract or he's not playing for you. Whereas there's a couple different variables for what you can give Roquan here.
Like, yes, Zach was looking for the max. Zach wasn't looking to be paid more than anybody else that's playing the shooting guard position.
Yep. Let's go to Victor in Oak Park. Vic, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yo, Waddle Sylvie, how is it going?
How's it going? Well, everything's good.
All right. Good to hear. So I wanted to just bring something to your attention. You were mentioning that article that came out about the turf and how everybody should go grass. And I've always thought to myself, and like, keep in mind, I'm no smarty pants like scientist or anything, but I have this poster of Walter Payton, and there's like chunks of mud flying up behind him. And you really don't see that anymore because of this turf. And is that what, you know, it's just always popped into my head. Is that why so many guys are going down with ACLs and stuff? Because there's no give, you know, if they make a cut, dirt's not flying up. It's just they go down because they're kind of stuck. So I was just curious if that ever crossed your mind.
I don't know, Victor, what the recent studies are. I mean, people, I'm sure if you looked at them, I'm assuming that turf surfaces would cause more knee injuries. I don't know how many more knee injuries. In an ideal scenario, I think everyone would have beautiful grass to play on.
You want me to read you the stuff from J.C. Treader's article?
Yeah.
I will read you that coming up next, okay, that someone sent me about that. Remember, and you can tell the story too. Were you always here when it was grass, or were you here?
Yeah, I was always here when it was grass. Yeah.
Because in the mid-80s, it was one of the worst. It was the old school AstroTurf that the players used to say felt like concrete.
Yeah. When we would play at Old Sullivan Stadium, which became Foxborough, the Patriots had, basically, it was about an eighth of an inch of AstroTurf over an eighth of an inch of rubber over concrete.
Yes.
It was like falling down on State Street.
And when it would be cold, it would hurt even more. Right?
It was awful.
Yes. Like, that's what Walter Payton played a lot of his career on here.
Yeah.
You know, 312-332-3776. I'll read you J.C. Treader's tweet that they should test these fields differently. If you want to weigh in from anything you saw over the weekend, talk about the White Sox big series against the Astros, 312-332-3776.
Time for another Tasty Whiskey University. Join our friend Carmen for this month's extravaganza, brought to you by Wyoming Whiskey. He'll be at Spears Bourbon and Burgers in Wheeling Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30, where he will learn you all about Wyoming whiskey, like that it's crafted in the Bighorn Basin, working with local farmers to find select strains of corn and wheat. You'll enjoy its unique taste and profile. So come out for Whiskey University with Carmen Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30 at Spears Bourbon and Burgers in Wheeling. And please drink responsibly.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Hopefully one day there'll be this $4 or $5 billion stadium in Arlington Heights that will have a retractable roof. We'll have pristine turf. We'll have amenities for all.
Oh, yeah. Bathrooms where you'll just want to come in, sit down. You don't even mind that you're missing the game because the bathroom is inviting. Like Vegas.
I know.
You're so overwhelmed by the fact that it felt like you were at a restaurant hotel.
I got to go number two.
Yeah.
At Soldier, I would have held it.
Oh, my God.
There's no way I'm going into a Soldier Field bathroom with everyone waiting and the lines long. And then you...
Like, hey, Sylvie, how you doing in there?
A busy stadium or the airport are the two places you don't want to go.
But I've done both.
I know, because you have...
I don't have a phobia about that. I can
not
do
a phobia,
wherever I need
and
to.
You have more like pressing needs than most of
us. Listen, look, if I need to go to the bathroom, I'm not going to be bothered by where I got to go. I'd prefer to be at home, but you can't always get what you want.
Where are you on the airport toilet seat that has the portable plastic on it? That you hit the button and the plastic around. Rotates.
I prefer not.
I don't like that. Even though it's supposed to be more sanitary. I feel like it's just spinning around in a circle and
it's a circle of dirt.
I gave it a good wipe down if I have to at a restaurant.
It's a circle of butt dirt.
It's kind of like the Bears, the circle of sock.
Yeah, pretty much.
Circle of butt dirt.
Why, isn't it not? When does it run out? Or does it just keep going?
Braxy dropped a number 2 at the White Sox game. I was very proud of him. Yes.
Was he in the skybox, though?
No, we were in the main concourse. There are no lines. Like, if you time it right, where you never go to the bathroom at the end of an inning. You got
to
know.
I think you go
to
the bathroom whenever you need to go to the bathroom.
Well, true, but if you can hold it in the middle of an inning, if it's not like a big rally or something, like a big pressing inning that you don't want to miss, like it's the fourth inning, middle of the fourth, there's like a runner on with one out. It's calmed down since the last.
Dan, I got to cut a deuce. Let's go.
Let's go. And then you walk in, you walk out. You're in and out like that. So, but hopefully we won't have to talk about turf one day. Hopefully we won't have to talk about bad access, that the roads that will lead to Arlington Heights will fix a lot of what ails the Bears at Soldier Field.
I would hope so. If you're going to invest in a project that's going to cost you billions of dollars, you better solve the field problem.
And in Wilbon, we were texting with Wilbon a little bit. I love to rub it in whenever there's something wrong because he's so pro Soldier Field. And he was, I sent him the J.C. Treader a tweet. J.C. Treader, again, the NFLPA president. He's a center in the NFL.
Was recently cut by the Browns. I think they saved themselves like $8.5 million by letting him go.
Still very good, though, by the way. And a lot of people think because he's written about player safety, teams may not want to touch him. He wrote, and he sent a picture of all those divots in Soldier Field that look like they're filled with sand. And he said, the NFL said that this field met minimum testing standards. We clearly need to reevaluate what is an acceptable surface for players to compete on. We need new testing metrics looking at the performance and safety of every field. The NFL can and should do better.
And the NFL responded, enjoyed your extended time off.
When no one is signing you. That's not nice.
It is not nice.
So then, I don't know when this came from, but we were then debating, hey, are the Bears better off having a turf field?
May be better off signing J.C. Treader and moving Patrick to guard.
There you go. And he could fix the field
there
in the meantime.
Go. Sign J.C. Treader to play center and move Patrick to guard.
I like it.
There you go.
So he wrote an article back in the day because we were debating field turf versus that shoot-up field.
Okay, so what are the injury stats?
Yeah, I got the injury stats because Treader in the past for the NFLPA has wrote an article that headlined, only natural grass can level the NFL's playing field. And someone sent me with this highlighted. The data supports the anecdotes you'll hear from me and other players. Artificial turf is significantly harder on the body than grass. Based on NFL injury data collected from 2012 to 2018, not only was the contact injury rate for lower extremities higher during practices and games held on artificial turf, NFL players consistently experienced a much higher rate of non-contact lower extremity injuries on turf compared to natural surfaces. Here's the money stat. It's highlighted. Specifically, players have a 28% higher rate of non-contact lower extremity injuries when playing on artificial turf. Of those non-contact injuries, players have a 32% higher rate of non-contact knee injuries on turf and a staggering 69% higher rate of non-contact foot and ankle injuries on turf compared to grass.
Those are significant stats.
And again, it goes like, what are we testing? Are we talking about the grass field in Arizona that they roll out and that they sun and then they bring in under the dome? And
well, the majority of grass fields in the NFL don't look like the one you saw.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That like now we're talking about just the independent grass field, the replacement level grass field. The Bears would be a -3 WAR, right? That's a -3 WAR player. The Bears field.
Yeah, I don't think that you don't look at that field and and put it on the same level as like the field in Glendale, Arizona. I would not think. I think that, but when we think about the field turf versus, yes.
Lambeau is more north, but they have this hybrid surface, right? Where most of it's normal grass, but then under, they have some turf in there too intertwined.
They have something, yeah. It's kind of different. Sure, it's an expensive project, but it's something that they're willing to invest in because they spend $200+ million on their player salaries. So, yeah, this is something that you got to. When you have $200 million invested in player salaries in your employees, you must make sure that you give them the best possible surface that they can play on. If it's not field turf, which J.C. Tretter has shown you through the stats, is more dangerous and there are more injuries. If you're on natural grass, please, for the love of everything good and pure, make it one that is acceptable.
Yes. And they haven't.
It is interesting
years.
Though that I mean, and I guess you would find the field turf in areas where weather isn't very accommodating, right? Because New England in Boston, it gets crappy up there. So they don't have natural grass. They have field turf.
What does Buffalo have?
Buffalo has field turf as well, don't they? I believe.
And then a lot of the dome stadiums obviously have
The Giants and Jets have field turf, correct? I think anything where the weather sucks later in the year, they have field turf, if I'm not mistaken, for most of them. I don't believe the Meadowlands is, whatever it's called these days. I don't believe it's natural grass. So, I mean, the further north you go and the further east you go, I think you get field turf fields.
But a lot of the northern fields, like Ford Field, like the new Minnesota Stadium, they're
indoors.
Right.
And you're going to play on field turf
because you can't grow the grass like they do in Arizona where you wheel it out in November.
Right, because of the conditions.
Yeah. John Ed O'Hare, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, John?
Yeah, Otto and Sylvie, we miss you guys at the airport.
Oh, John, TSA John.
TSA John, yeah.
Yeah, hey, all the Capoletti ladies came through a couple months ago, but I didn't see you, Tom, carrying their bags.
Yeah, I don't get a chance to travel with the ladies as much as I like to.
I hear you, the whole clan. Hey, so anyway, your rookie year in 89, was that still artificial turf at Soldier Field?
No, it was grass, but John, I tell the story all the time. When we played in 91, we played the Dallas Cowboys in, I think it was a Saturday playoff game. We went down to the stadium, I want to say Wednesday or Thursday, to practice on the field, and it was brown. It was dirt. And when we came out for the game, it was painted Kelly green. I mean, the surface was horrible. It was absolutely awful for a playoff game.
Well, let me ask you now. You know, the years you played on grass, you played on artificial turf. What's your experience?
Oh, I'd much rather play on grass. Much rather play on grass. But I don't think, John, I think I ever played on the newer field turf ever. I don't think it was ever exposed to that has a little bit more give. The artificial surfaces I played on in the Metrodome and the Silver Dome and wherever else you were go, they were like what we talked about. It's like an eighth of an inch of turf on top of an eighth of an inch of like a rubberized surface over concrete. It was just awful.
Yeah, it was much different.
You mean like Philadelphia or Wendell Davis tore up his knees?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. The old vet.
John, let me ask you a couple questions, all right? John works at O'Hare. He's at the United TSA station.
You were right about the John, Sylvie.
The plastic. Oh, and it's just gross. And
last place you want to be is an airport, John.
Like waiting in line for for a bathroom where you have to sit down knowing that this big dude just in front of me, he warmed the seat up and he made it a mess. And now you've got to take over right away.
I don't think that's unique to just a big guy. I think the small guys can do damage too.
Yeah. Let me ask you that.
And the ventilation's so bad, you might as well be at the Forest Preserve in an outhouse.
You're right. It is like walking into the street fest in one of those porta potties. I'm asking you questions now. Hold on, John. Oh, you're on my turf, not yours.
You're not getting through security quick next time, mister.
What is your pet peeve as someone who works at TSA? About an airport traveler? Like, what's the worst thing you see that you want out there corrected from a traveler?
Uh, let's see. They think the cell phone, because it's got a glass screen, they think it's not metal. And they come through the metal detector. And then they tell you it never rings. And then you finally get them to put the cell phone in a bowl. And you get the, you know, I work TSA pre-check. So that most of those people know what they're doing already. But they throw in some regulars sometimes. And they don't have a clue where they're at. And they're taking off their shoes. I work in the fancy lane where Waddle comes through and Sylvie.
Well, we just pay for TSA pre.
Yeah,
that's
I just get to keep my shoes on, John. That's all. I know. You know, by the way, I don't want to sit down on the toilet, Sarah. I don't want my feet hitting the ground either.
Right, right. And, yeah, I could write a book on the airport thing here. But let me ask you, every year we go to games, usually in end November and December, and I mean, when you're at the game, I see guys running patterns and they're falling down all by themselves. And like you guys said, the last 10 years is a cranberry bog.
Yeah.
So this ain't like a new problem. Like, go, why can't they? Is it the park district workers? Is it the kind of grass they're using? What's the deal?
It's a good question, John. And thanks for the call, buddy. All the best.
TSA John.
He's great. I think that this has been a collaboration, for lack of a better term, between the park district and the team, right? Doesn't the team basically tell the park district what they want, and then the park
yes.
district tries to accommodate
right.
them the best they can?
And then they have multiple things going on that turf
yeah.
after they replace it, because it's a multi – the Bears don't own it.
Right.
So it's not like – there are fire soccer games. There are college games.
I'm
there
interested
are concerts.
To find out when the project in Arlington Heights does take form, what type of surface they will put
yes.
down, knowing that their goal is to have
a safe field.
Not just that, but a number of other events there, concerts, maybe a Final Four, a Super Bowl, whatever the case may be. What will they decide on in terms of a surface, knowing that it's going to be used for more than just 9 or 8 home games?
This is what I mean. It's going to be such a costly thing, and they're going to have so many choices, retractable versus dome. Is it going to be, what kind of field is it going to be? All these different choices. It's a total blank canvas where they will pick, and hopefully they will make the right choices. Hopefully.
Yeah.
312-332-3776, our Bears camp updates, and our Twitch channel, ESPN 1000 Chicago, all brought to you by your Chicagoland Midas franchisees. Coming up, well, hold on now, Mallard. Hold on now. I made an MVP bet today. I want you to try and guess who I placed money down to win the National Football League's MVP, and we'll talk to Bleck and Abdallah next.
Mitch.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by the Sanctuary Golf Course, home of the $39 Wednesday special. That includes golf and a cart. For tee times, go to golfsanctuary.com.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
What are you just naming random NFL
Joe
players?
Joe Burrow.
Chris and I were just
naming quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's
football
ready.
Season.
Football
man.
Season.
I thought you were guessing because I placed a $15 bet today.
Oh, no. I know. You put your money on Mitch. I know that.
I did not put my money on Mitch to win the MVP.
Yes, you did.
Oh, okay. I hope not.
You put your money on to win the MVP.
The NFL MVP, and it's not one of the top favorites.
Justin Herbert.
I was looking for a little more value. That could be a possibility.
Herbert's got to be a quarterback.
Like, I could see Herbert winning it this year.
Tom Brady?
Not Tom Brady.
Patty Mahomes?
No, he would be. Isn't he still towards the top?
Well, yeah, but everyone's
is it a quarterback.
It is a quarterback.
Yeah. Everyone's obsessed with Josh Allen this year.
Dak Prescott.
So. Oh, I like Dak.
Dak's not a bad guess.
Lamar.
Can you believe it's?
Yes.
Oh, really? Lamar Jackson?
He got
right.
it. Yeah.
Is he going to play?
Because I think he's going to play, and because of the contract and the way he handled it, and he's won one before. And as a dark horse, and people were I think they were pointing this out on Greeny's show. He's still at 20-1. That's pretty
good value.
Good value, right? For a guy who can do it both, you know, can throw it, can run it.
Yeah. I think for him to win the MVP again, they'd have to be the number one seed in the AFC. They'd have to be like the story.
Right, because Josh Allen's going to have a big year, probably. Patrick Mahomes probably going to have a big year.
And I feel like there's enough detractors out there that suggest that Lamar Jackson only uses his legs and he's not a good passer. So, like, he would really have to have a great season.
He's got two MVP candidates in his division.
Right.
Sure.
I mean,
I'm not saying it's a layup or anything. I wanted to take a run on it. Oh, there you go. Very good. You know, Kenny Pickett played well, though, after he...
So did Mason Crosby. Well, whatever his name is. Not Mason Crosby.
Mason Crosby was swinging
it? Kicker. Who is their guy?
Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph. There you go.
Well, you know what's funny about that is I caught the highlights on SportsCenter after, what was that, on Saturday night?
Yes.
Okay, so they're breaking down the Steelers game. I was listening to Cap'n Jay Hood this morning, 7 to 10 weekday mornings here on ESPN 1000. You would think the story was Trubisky. Even though the national media, the story after the Steelers game was how great Kenny Pickett looked.
Yeah.
And how, like, Lewis Riddick was on SportsCenter being like, oh, yeah, this is going to happen. This kid looks ready.
What was it, like 15 to 17 or something like that?
You listened to Cap'n Jay Hood this morning, and they're talking about Mitch. Like, Mitch was incredible performance. Team.
Who cares?
Hoodie had the line of the day today. I don't know if you guys caught it, but I appreciated it, and I texted him about it. Shea was asking them the questions about stuff, and then they did the Mitch segment, and they go, well, if something came up of like, why do you love this segment so much? And someone blurted out, it's because it's about Mitch.
Hoodie goes,
because it's about you.
Yeah, it's the open. It's the every open that is played. Cap goes, why do we still have this old open? Why do we still have this old open? But not that one.
Yeah.
Because that one's about him.
Yeah, he loves it.
I heard that, yeah.
And it's, why do you love this segment? Because it's about Mitch. No, because it's about you.
Yeah.
They should just call it Kissin' Mitchies is what they should call it.
Kissin' Mitchies. That's nice. I like that.
Kissing Mitchies.
But, you know, congrats for Mitch, because this is where he shines. Preseason games where it doesn't matter.
Didn't he do this last year against the Bears?
Seven passes. Yes. This is his time. It's Mitch time. Right? So congrats, and allow Cap to live it up. He gets it for a week, maybe 2 weeks, where in the preseason nothing matters. He'll talk a lot of blank, and then the season will start, and Mitch will look terrible, and Kenny Pickett will be the quarterback for the Steelers.
I need Mitch, though. Give me a handful of Mitch starts.
No, just you don't for fun. You don't
want to.
Just
do, no.
I do. I want Mitch in our lives.
We moved on because
I love Mitch in our lives.
It's good
conversation.
Listen, Sylvia, I've unfollowed her Twitter, her Instagram. We're not friends on Facebook anymore. Just move on.
You block and move it.
Move on. I got a new girl.
Just move it along.
I got a new girl. Justin Fields. I got a new girl.
Oh, can't you have, like, if you're not married, like, you can have more than one girl.
Yeah, but I'm not looking at the exes.
This was never your girl. You were never in with this.
No, I never liked her.
So that's what I'm saying.
Never liked her.
It's just like you've always been friends.
Nah, I mean, you know, every once in a while at 2 a.m.
No, you know what? It's not even the...
I don't know.
It's not even like the girlfriend relationship. It's just like the old pal from college who it's like, I just don't have the time for this anymore. We're never really going to be close ever
again.
You're in
town again.
But I love the back and forth.
But
I just do.
Some people are worthy of staying in touch with. Some, it's like, oh, this is a chore. Just move it along. Yeah, go on with your life.
It's a nice conversation piece. It just is.
And because it drives, there are other people. The truth is you guys dubbed them, are still out there, and it's still fun.
Oh, it's insane. I looked at
the
Steelers mentions when they posted the picture, and they're like,
CC, you are
his
looking.
You're still creeping around social media, checking on your ass.
It had to have been Cap that retweeted it, and so I looked at it, because I was like, I bet they're blowing him up. But nope, opposite. They're just as on him as every truther was here. Like, it's just filled with it. And it's mostly Bears fans mentions.
That's why I want them in our lives for just a handful of games.
Sit back and watch a little.
Handful.
Watch people yell at each other and get after one another.
Well, thankfully,
that's why
they have
I
an
loved
easy...
when he came to town last year in a Bills uniform and did what he did. I was praying for it. Don't you remember?
Yes.
I was sitting there going,
chaos.
I just want some chaos.
Thankfully, they have an easy schedule to start the season. Wait a minute. I don't think they do.
Let's make a quick prediction.
You're creeping. You're creeping on social media.
Bengals, Patriots, Browns.
White Sox get two wins of the four. They win two against the Astros.
I'll give him one.
I'll give him four innings. Oh.
Will they be in one game or will they be in like an inning a game?
So wait, I told you last week, I'm be done in tonight's with this. Game. I'm done with this thinking they finally turned it on.
They finally caught the Twins.
Ah, they played the Tigers over the weekend. Yeah, it was fun.
In tonight and tomorrow.
We were there Friday night. It was a good time.
Waddle?
Yeah. I think they'll go 2-2 and then they'll face some other crap teams and they'll
lose.
They
got the Guardians after that. It's a big week.
It is a big week.
It is a big week.
Everything could turn this week. If they really show out this week, we could have a different conversation next week.
Then we start to talk about you.
Right.
Yeah.
But after losing 3-4 to the Royals, you win 3 in a row against the Tigers. I'm still, I'm not moved. Move me.
Four innings. Win 4 innings first.
Waddle wants it to move.
Move me.
All right, boys.
Make it
have
move.
A good show.
Like when I watched Mitch play quarterback for the Steelers.
Bleck and Abdallah next. Thanks to Adam Amin. Great work by Jeff Meller and
you're
Tyler Aki.
Right now.
For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000.
Come back, Mitch.
Have yourself a great Monday night.
Come back, Mitch.